Just some pointers about the nature of critiquing of sermons, because it's a culture that has slightly fallen in to misuse and sometimes into abuse. What you need to do first and foremost when you hear sermons is to take the lesson to heart and pray about it. That's the first couple of steps. And sometimes in lesson critiquing, you actually don't listen to the Word of God. It's like trying to preach phony sermons. It doesn't work. So I talk to you what I think the Word of God is saying to us as ministers of the gospel. We need to think about that first and foremost, and just spend a moment or two talking with each other about what I learned, what I take from that, what's the take-home message for me from this that I need to do, and pray about it. But then we do need to critique sermons, and the day-to-day is to help you in the exercise of doing it, because it's a lifetime doing it. It's important to develop. Critiquing helps you to develop discernment about preaching. So it's not about the person you've just heard, really, or about the sermon you've just heard. It's how do I think about preaching? What are the values I have? What are the aspects of it? You're not only evaluating what you're hearing, but also, and more importantly, you're understanding, clarifying how you as a preacher are going to preach. How do I get across the message? How do I do it? Why does that not work? Or why did that work? And how could I do that with my personality? Or should I never try and do that because I can't tell jokes like Chapo? It's important to know in critiquing how you're coming across and what reactions, what responses are giving. And if you're not in the critique, if no one ever critiques your sermons, you don't actually know what the listener's hearing. And one of the tests I did many years ago was actually to put out a multiple choice questions at the end of a preaching series to find out what people actually had learnt. It was very illuminating as to what they had and hadn't learnt. Of course, they were pretty unintelligent people, pretty thick, you know, and nothing to do with me and my preaching. But if you don't actually ever look at the response, find out, and therefore feedback is a really important part of critiquing. However, critiquing is not always helpful for preachers. You've got to recognise it is a professional activity we're engaged in, not a personal one. We're trying to analyse preaching, not the preacher. But of course you can't totally detach the two, because the preaching comes with the preacher. And so when you're hearing it, a critique of your own sermons, you've got to depersonalise as much as possible. When you're giving it, you must depersonalise as much as possible. But on the other hand, preaching is a very subjective activity, and critiquing preaching is a very subjective activity. You need to hear and listen to what people say about your sermons, but you've got to evaluate what they're saying as well, and not just immediately accept it. And likewise, you've got to be careful what you're saying about the other person. Criticism without the ability to improve is discouragement, and discouraged preachers preach badly. And so critiquing can actually destroy a preacher. Preaching, like many activities, is a confidence game, and you lose your confidence, you lose your ability to stand up and say things. And so in critiquing, you always need to remember the other person has got feelings, even though it's a impersonal thing that we're doing at the moment. There is always, next thing to say about it when it's not helpful, there is always something wrong in every talk. But very often people do not know what they're going to be critiqued on until afterwards. So you really work hard at doing exegesis, and this group of people who are critiquing you are really big on your manner. And they just don't pay any attention to what you worked at. If you knew it was going to be at your manner, then you'd actually pick up on your manner. And so when you've got your rector giving you a critique about your sermon, one of the problems is you never know which bit he's going to criticise next. Because you don't know what the ground rules are, You either become totally defensive and make sure you preach a sermon that no one could criticise about anything and therefore preach an utterly boring sermon, or you get really upset because you work so hard on things he's paid no attention to and you didn't even notice the things. And, you know, next week you go and fix up the thing that he's concerned about last week and now he's criticising you on the other thing that he didn't mention last time. And so you can never be satisfied. Husbands understand. Criticism also can make you too self-conscious and too desperate to please. You sit down at the end of the sermon and you want to say to someone, how was that? Because what has become through the practice of criticism is a great sense of how am I doing? Whereas how I'm doing is irrelevant. How the hearer is hearing, what is taking part in the minds and hearts of the audience matters. What the preacher's, he's an irrelevance. But yet, if you're in too much critiquing mode, you become very self-conscious. So critiquing is not always helpful. However, in growing in discernment as a preacher, you've got to do it. You've got to go through the process. You've got to go through it in critiquing other people. Every talk you ever hear anywhere, you need to be thinking consciously, how would I have done that better? How could they have done it better? Always. And you need to get people to give you feedback. That's just part of it. And I think we need discussions, because it's in discussion that I could see it would be done better that way, but now that you mention it, actually it wouldn't be done better that way. It would be better done this way. And our discussion with each other is really helpful in improving preaching. The easy way of controlling the conversation is to go down the old debating technique of talking about matter, manner and method. In debating adjudication, traditions, people used to be given 40 points for their matter and 40 points for their manner and 20 points for their method or something like that. Which is important? Well, for us preachers, matter is what is important. That's what we put all our effort and time into, to make sure that what we're saying is right. And it is very important, but in terms of critiquing, it's not that important. That is, each sermon is a one-off. If you got the exegesis wrong this time, you'll get it right next time. You won't come back to this passage for many years anyway. And it's not actually the thing that really is the critical factor of making you a great preacher. It's about what this sermon, why it failed or why this sermon succeeded. And there is some point of discussing it. We like it because it's the thing we concentrate on in our preparation and our delivery. And because it's objective, you can actually say, well, look, verse 4 didn't say what you said verse 4 said. And so it's got an objectivity about it. But in terms of creating a good preacher, it is most likely not the most important of the three. Manner is generally the area that needs improvement. And it's the easiest area to improve, though it is very subjective. So you don't like that I speak so slow, or you don't like that I speak so quick, or you don't like that I... It's very subjective as to what connects with another person. But it's the area where we communicate or fail to communicate. If I like you, I like what you've got to say. If I don't like you, I don't like what you've got to say. So how do I communicate to you? I've got to actually be likeable somewhere along the line, which for some of us is very difficult. And it's not just this one sermon, this is the thing for the future. The ABC weatherman starts every paragraph with the word now. Drives me mad. Right? It'll drive you mad now that you watch it. You haven't noticed till now, but now you will see that now, when I come to this and now, and someone needs to get him and help him get rid of that problem. That's a problem that can be got rid of, and that's not a problem just for this, it's a problem for every night of the week. It's like that silly man who does the economics and draws graphs and never brings them to the base zero and constantly misrepresents the truth. Every night the ABC misrepresents the truth graphically. However, it needs to be explained because it's not just the one-off, it's the every night thing. So your manner is really important. Now, of course, this then becomes very personal, doesn't it? Right? Whereas matter's impersonal and we can talk about it and you got verse 3 wrong. Well, verse 3 means something else, but I don't even have to say you got it wrong. But manner, you know, you use your hands too much or you don't use your hands enough. That's personal. But it's got to be done. if you want to improve as a preacher. However, I think the most important one is method. Method is really important because the method you apply is a method that will go on to other sermons as well. For how did you derive the meaning of the text? How did you determine the application for this particular situation? Why did you choose to do an expository rather than speak on a topic? Or did speak on a topic rather than expounding it? Why didn't you use more cross-references? Why did you use so many cross-references? How did you get the whole Bible's message into this passage? And how much did you use this passage to cast light on the rest of the book? Why did you choose that illustration? And why did you put the illustration there and not earlier on? And how did you use the illustrations? What was the structure of the talk? And why did you choose that structure for the talk? How did the introduction grab the hearers? Or how did the introduction lose the hearers? I had this terrific fight with, well, I didn't have the fight. John Chapman and Dick Lucas had a fight over me once as I was in the lounge room with a third person, as if I wasn't there. Where John was saying, Philip's problem is that he gives too long introductions and they go on and on and on, and you're tired before you actually get to the text. And Dick was saying, you mustn't take the train out of the station until everybody's on the train. And so you, Chapo, you just go, you know, you go so quickly. One sentence and the train's out the station. I haven't even got on the train yet. And so they had this discussion back and forth. There is no answer. But it's an important question to ask. Right? So that you, when you're preparing your next sermon, you think, I've got four good introductions. Do I need four? Will two do here? You know, maybe just one of them would be able to do the trick that I need. And you think, but I've thought up four, I've got to use them. So it's the question. See, method is the key as to preaching. And so it's really where you need to spend more time. Certainly matter. It's really helpful to say you got verse 7 wrong, or it was good, I never saw that point before. That's helpful things to say. But they're one-offs. Right? Manner is personal, but it's got to be done. Method is something which has a certain objectivity about it and is really long-term significant in improving the preacher. I mean, in groups now, what I want us to be doing is, number one, say, quickly, this is what I learnt. Wasn't that good, right? Wasn't that fantastic? Let's pray about it. Number two, that's where you go to then. And then three, you move into the professional mode and say, you know, it's irrelevant the fact that we love Philip, and it's irrelevant that we hate Philip. That's an irrelevance. The question is, that sermon, why did it work? Why didn't it work? And then think through, well, what was the matter? Was there any matter with the matter? And what about his manner? It really is off-putting. He does X, Y, Z, etc. Why shouldn't we do it this way? Or wouldn't it be better if he did that? And then, but concentrate on the method. How did we get from the Bible to our hearts? What was the process? What was the method he tried to use? Why did it work? Why did it fail? How could it be improved? How would I have done it differently? And at the end of the day, my sermon doesn't matter. Your exercise does. Right? Because this is helping you to be more critical preachers and listeners to preaching, so that you will improve as preachers. That's where this exercise is heading towards.